Hello Europe, hello world, let's get ready to tumble! It's the Trampoline European Championships! We'll be chatting to that British man with the long hair who jumps around excitedly during gymnastics competitions, plus a Portuguese great and an Italian Olympic medalist. All of that on this month's European Gymnastics Podcast. Hello Blythe Lawrence!
Fancy meeting you here, Ollie Hogben.
Yes, for the third episode of the European Gymnastics Podcast. And we are thrilled to have you with us, listener. We are also thrilled about the fact that it is the first European Gymnastics Championships of 2026.
We are in full-on trampoline tumbling and double mini trampoline mode leading up to the European Championships in Portimão, Portugal.
So we are going to bounce our way around all of the different disciplines of trampoline in this episode. But before we do that, it's time to look back at what has been an incredibly exciting spell of competition. So Blythe, are you up for the challenge?
Yes, indeed.
So that means I'm going to give you a piece of floor music that has won a European Championship title. And as ever, listener, you can shout out, annoy the neighbours, when you hear this and identify the music, tell all of your friends, and we'll tell you at the end of the episode if you were right or not. Blythe, over to you.
Let's go. Ukraine's Tysha Onofriechuk tore through the Rhythmic Gymnastics World Cup in Sofia, winning four of a possible five golds. Onofriechuk left nothing on the table but the club's title, that taken by Bulgaria's Eva Brezelieva. Olympic champion Reese McLennigan is back on the horse and back on the podium. The Irishman dominated on pommel horse at the Antalya World Cup in just his second competition following the Paris Olympics. Antalya was also where Norwegian vault sensation Sebastian Spunovic earned his first World Cup title on his 21st birthday. Elena Koles' senior international debut at the City of Jesolo Trophy was everything she could have asked for. Koles won the all-around and claimed gold on uneven bars, and France left with a record 12 medals across the senior and junior divisions. European and world champions had the last word as the Aerobic Gymnastics World Cup started in Cantanhede, Portugal. Ukraine's Anastasia Kurashvili and Spain's Mikel Manier picked up the individual titles, and Kurashvili added a second gold in mixed pairs. Finally, a parting note from 2024 Olympian Luca Fondinkabas of Belgium, who recently announced his retirement. In a long Instagram post, Fondinkabas said that leading the Belgians was one of the great honors of his life, not because of the titles he won, but because of the people he stood with along the way.
Well done, Blythe.
Thank you, Ollie. And you saw my salute at the beginning and end of reading that news.
Well, you have to avoid unnecessary penalties, don't you?
Absolutely. It's one of the key things in this sport.
Well, we salute you, and we salute the return of one gymnast who came back at the Coppice World Cup in the artistic gymnastics calendar at the start of the year. And that was a massive member of the Italian squad.
Of course, we are talking about the one and only Elisa Iorio. She made a huge return in Cottbus, winning the uneven bars title after being sidelined all of 2025 with an ankle injury.
Yeah, she had an awful spell, didn't she, on the sidelines? And that came right after the high of being part of this history-making Italian team. Must have been a really difficult time for her. And you actually sat down and had a fascinating conversation with her to learn more about that whole process.
And we're going to go back to that medal-winning moment with her. As you'll see, even 18 months later, it still hasn't quite sunk in.
Inverted pirouettes, front giant into a double front dismount.
Oh, what a performance from Elisa Iorio of Italy.
Do you ever wake up in the morning and go, I won an Olympic medal?
I'm in disbelief. I'm still in disbelief in this moment.
Really?
Really.
Why?
We didn't imagine this, all this. And after the competition, when we did it, we're like, oh, wow. We won a silver medal. And now? The question is always, and now? What we are going to do in the future? It's always a mystery.
What do you see as your role on the Italian team?
I don't know, but probably my teammates see me like a mental coach. because I like do these things, to say these little words that help them, and they know that I'm there for them to say simple words or just a look when we look each other before they start. For example, before Angela Andreoli started her routines in Paris, she was the last one to compete on floor. I was there for her, and to say to her, "You can do it. You work hard. So take your moment and smile."
What is it like to take time off like you did in 2025 and return to the World Cup stage like you did in Copas? Is it different?
Yeah, I feel different. I feel comfortable with myself. It's different because when you start to compete in international competition, when you were young, when you was young, when I was young, it's all new. The gymnasts around you, the coaches, the judge. So 10 years later, you feel in a different way, more comfortable. You have a consistency, like we said before, and after an Olympic medal, you knew what are you able to do. So it's different, I think.
You've had a great start to your competition year. What are your goals for this moving forward?
First of all, I want to return in a good shape because I continue to have pain in my ankle, so I want to recovery and stay well. And after that, also I have two goals. Important goals that are European Championship and the World Championship on October, right? October. Yeah.
Outside of gymnastics, how is your life developing?
Okay. Yeah, I'm a languages student. I choose both English and Chinese. I started last year, and I choose Chinese because I have a passion for Eastern cultures, and also my boyfriend is half Italian and half Chinese. So I choose this language because I visited in the past China, Japan, and Korea, and I have a passion for this, and why not? It's an interesting language.
What is it about Eastern cultures that fascinates you?
I don't know why, but probably it all starts with BTS. I know it's a question, but I started to listen their music in 2019, so a lot of years ago, and I really love how their music getting me feeling better with myself. They said with their songs, you have to love yourself before you love someone. So I really like this thing, this stuff.
And BTS has literally left their mark on you, haven't they?
Yes, I tattooed the Love Yourself album on my back. I really love their method to explain what they think about love and about life, also about life. So why don't imprint these beautiful things on my skin?
Great to hear from Elisa Yorio, and great that she's back in competition as well. By the way, that music that we played for you during Blythe's news report at the start, that was Elisa Yorio's own teammate, Manila Esposito, winning the European title on floor a couple of years ago. Now, Trampoline Euros. They are happening very, very soon. Blythe, when are they happening?
The 8th through 12th of April in Portimão in Portugal. This is the second consecutive European Championships in trampoline that Portugal is hosting, and there are really high hopes for the host nation.
So we are now going to spend the rest of this episode focusing on the Trampoline Euros. Let's have a look at some of the folk who are actually going to be in Portimão. Now, Portugal comes into this boasting the reigning individual champion in men's trampoline in Europe, and that is Pedro Ferreira.
But really, Portugal has four outstanding men's trampolinists. Any of them could take the title on the right day.
The Portuguese are mad about trampoline, aren't they?
They are, and that goes back decades, actually.
Portugal is fantastic at trampoline, but there are many, many, many other contenders. France's Leila Bruce won women's silver last time in Guimarães. That's 2024. She's going to be here again, as will Noemi Romero Rosario of Spain. She won the bronze medal. Two nations, Blythe, with very deep and very strong squads across the board. And one of the reasons we talk about strong squads is because there are team competitions in trampoline as well.
And no team has been better in men's and women's trampoline at the European level in the last few years than France. The French did win both of the women's and men's team trampoline titles 2 years ago, and that was a year after the French men took that historic world title in Birmingham for the first time since the 1990s. And they have brought their key members of the squad back. Léa Labrousse returning for the French women. She's the absolute anchor for them. She has done it all. And then for the French men, Alain Morant and Pierre Guzou. Guzou, who was in the top 10 in the Paris trampoline final, the only French gymnast in the men's competition to make it that far.
I think, though, the Portuguese will really fancy that men's title on home soil. They won the world title a year before the French in 2022. Their spiritual captain is the great Diogo Abreu. He's got 6 world championship medals, one of them gold. He's got 7 European championship medals. At 32, he's gearing up for another Euros on home soil. Blythe, you sat down for a chat with him, and I think it's fair to say you could have spoken for hours. Let's have a listen.
Is jumping on a trampoline addictive?
For me, it was addictive. I remember when I went to my first training so I started in 2001 in Sporting Clube Portugal. That's a soccer club and football club, as we say, in Portugal, and has trampoline. And I remember the first day I was seeing everybody doing like just basic stuff like back somersaults and front somersaults and Guaranis. And I was looking at that and I was like, oh, this would be really cool if I could just do this. If I just did like a back somersault, I would be happy. And then that evolved to doubles and triples and twisting. And so, yeah, I think when you start seeing that you're progressing, it becomes kind of addictive, yeah.
You are a world champion. You're a 2-time Olympian. You've been on a European Championship podium 7 times. Given all of that, I've got to ask, what keeps you going?
Well, right now it's not about the like the individual results. There are still some results that I would like to have, but it's mainly because I still, this is like a cliche, but I still really like doing trampoline. I still love going training, going to my club and train with my friends. And if I went to training and I didn't feel like supported and happy doing it, I would have quit a long time ago. But because I still feel that, and when I go to training camps with the Portuguese team and to the World Championships and European Championships, I still have a lot of fun with the people that are there, with the coaches, with the athletes. And I think that's the main reason that still makes me want to keep doing trampoline. And the other part is that I'm since a young age, I've always been very competitive. And so I still like to feel like I'm competitive with the rest of the world and with the rest of the Portuguese team. If I felt that they were way better than me and I wasn't doing anything here, I probably would have stopped also. But I feel like I'm still competitive. That makes it really easy to go every day and train.
And I wanted to ask you about your relationship with your teammates. How would you describe that? And what is it like to compete as a team one day and to compete against each other the next day?
We became friends throughout the years, and then as I said before, like at some point the whole trampoline team, we were all best friends, and then each of us were getting married and we were all best men of each other, and so there was a really tight bond. And I feel, and I always felt that it was more important, like it one factor for my performance as an individual to be good in a competition was that I felt at home and felt happy with my teammates in the training camps before and during the competition, because we all have to be with each other, we have to train with each other, we have to sleep in the same rooms a lot of times. So if we hated each other, I think that would also affect our individual performance.
When we think of Portugal and gymnastics, we tend to think of the trampoline disciplines. What is it, do you think, about Portuguese gymnasts that makes you all so good?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think maybe it's something in the water that we drink or something. No, but no, I've also talked and thought about this, because it's really incredible how like a small country with one major sport, that's football, also is really good at these other not as known sports, like trampoline. And what I've seen is that a long time ago, so maybe 30, 40 years ago, there were some people in Portugal that came from gymnastics and then started getting interested in trampoline. And what I feel happened was that we got a lot of good exchange of knowledge between other countries that were more advanced in trampoline. Like for example, France was a big inspiration, and we talked with a lot of the coaches from France, and they gave us a lot of knowledge. And what that did is that we got throughout the whole country, from Algarve to Lisbon to Coimbra to Porto, we got a lot of coaches that were really good at the foundation and at the technique of trampoline. And so then it was just a matter of time before they could teach young athletes and started evolving. Those athletes started evolving.
In trampoline, there are a lot of athletes with scientific backgrounds, maybe more so actually than in other forms of gymnastics. Lots of engineers, computer scientists, doctors, dentists. Do you think
Yes.
trampoline attracts that sort of person or maybe creates that sort of person?
Actually, in Portugal, there's kind of a joke that all of the guys are, well, not the guys, but the girls are all doctors in trampoline. In my club, all of the guys are engineers in trampoline. And I don't know if it's trampoline that attracts that kind of people, but what I feel is trampoline actually is a great balanced sport in the fact that you can do trampoline at a very high level, and you can also do your school and your university in parallel and be great at both of them. It's a great sport that has that great balance, because we know that some sports you have to train, I don't know, 6 or 7 or 8 hours a day. In trampoline, that's not even physically possible. That's the thing. It's not that we don't want to train more, of course. It's just that it's not physically for your body healthy and possible. It would have more downside than the upside. I always had the mentality and also instilled from my parents that school is a very important part and being educated is very important for life, for my career after trampoline. And even I think it helps me for trampoline also. And also I, like I said, I'm very competitive and I like to be the best at everything I do, not just trampoline. And so I love trying to prove people wrong when they said, oh, doing university and trampoline is going to be impossible. It's going to be very hard. And so I love to try and have the best scores in the test in the university and having the best results in trampoline. And then that kind of drove me to be the best that I could be.
What would you say is your biggest challenge in gymnastics at the moment?
Well, my biggest challenge is being able to train more because I feel like as I've gotten older, I don't have the same energy to train in terms of hours that I would need now that these young guys are doing crazy stuff and pushing me to the limit. So I would like to be able to not get as tired as fast. I try and treat my body and be good physically, but there's nothing you can do about age. But on the flip side, I feel like my experience has made me very consistent throughout the competition. So I'm less nervous in the competitions, and I'm more confident on what I'm doing. And I think that's also a positive point that comes from experience.
You've won so many medals, but one of the few things that you don't have in the trophy cabinet is a European Championship gold. What would it mean for you to get that in Portimão?
Right now, I don't really look at counting more medals, but for me, the most important part, if I won the European Championship, would be to feel that I'm still competitive and I won against some of the best athletes in the world. It's not just the medal, but it's more like, okay, I'm competitive and I can beat these guys. So that will keep me motivated to jump more and to improve. But of course, doing that in Portugal would be great. Because of my long career, I've already have had another two European Championships in Portugal, and they've always been great for me and my results. And I hope this one is another very good one for the whole Portuguese team.
Does the whole extended Abreu clan come to the European Championships in Portugal to support you?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough that my parents normally they travel kind of travel with me even for world championships in other countries because they've also tended to be here in Europe. But for example, my wife and my two daughters, they normally it's harder for them to travel, and so this time they can go and watch, and that will be a great feeling to have them there watching me for the first time. So yeah, it'll be great.
Tell me about your two daughters. Are they young trampoline gymnasts in training?
No, they're just 1 year and a half years old, so they're very very young. But maybe in their twins, they're two girls. They are twins, not identical twins. They're very different, but they were born at the same time. And maybe in the future, maybe I'll still jump, but maybe I'll still be jumping, and they'll start their career, and I'll be able to do mixed synchro with them, maybe.
Well, let's bring together, in the spirit of that, the Olympic discipline of trampoline with the World Games disciplines of double mini trampoline and tumbling, because they're all going to be at the European Championships, just as they are at the World Championships. Now, it could be hysteria in Iberia, because Spain and Portugal are big players in double mini trampoline. Now, there is a caveat here. We're without the reigning two-time world and three-time European champion, which is Spain's Melania Rodriguez.
And we are also missing Diana Gago, who won the World Games title in a huge moment for Portugal in Chengdu last year.
So it could be a very open competition.
Honestly, this kind of levels the playing field. You think about Spain and Portugal, big DMT rivals, but each of them has taken a loss to their core.
Now, Portugal and Spain, fantastic DMT squads. In tumbling, Azerbaijan and Great Britain won gold and silver in the men's competition last time. They've got very strong squads. Azerbaijan does outrageous difficulty.
The competition in men's tumbling at this moment, and you know it, having watched or commentated the last several huge finals, it's just some of the very best gymnastics television you can imagine.
My head is spinning when I watch Azerbaijan doing the complexity of passes.
Of course, and we talked about it on the podcast with Tofik Aliyev a couple months ago, he has shown that he can do the triple twisting, triple back, the full. We might see it in Portimao, but we haven't seen it from him since he brought it out at the World Games. And one of the big stories will be the battle between him and the 2023 world champion, his own teammate, Mikhail Malkin.
And you can listen, listener, to us chatting with Tofik Aliyev in the first episode of this very podcast series. So if you haven't heard that yet, do jump back after you've listened to this and catch up with Tofik Aliyev. It's so interesting. But we cannot stop there, because there is one team that I know you particularly want to talk about. And you have a glint in your eye and a smile on your face because you want to talk about Belgium.
I do want to talk about Belgium. They're really stacked. And one of the people that could be the most impactful for them is Lani Spiesens, who was fourth in the World Games final last summer in what was essentially her senior international debut.
That was very concise.
Thank you. Like a tumbling pass.
Yes, no Belgium waffle.
No.
Alexandra Efremolyu, reigning individual women's European champion. She will be here. Okay, what if you don't know double mini trampoline and tumbling as well as other disciplines? Well, we have got just a thing for you here on the European Gymnastics Podcast. I had the chance to sit down with Pete Cracknell, double mini trampoline world championship medalist and tumbling World Games medalist and European Gymnastics Coach of the Year, Mikey Barnes. Great pals, these two. They know each other really well. And you are going to know DMT and tumbling really well after you listen to this. Pete, say something nice about Mikey.
I just need a minute, actually. To
Over to you, Mikey.
Okay. What was the question?
Say something nice about Pete.
Say something nice about Pete. Oh, I've never seen a shinier, more precise bald head than Pete's.
It is good. Well, I do have a bit of an issue because, Mikey, you are my boss. So I can't be
funny. Fired on the spot.
I'm sort of beginning to regret inviting you both on the podcast immediately. This is going to get out of control fast, isn't it?
I'm Pete Cracknell.
My name's Mikey Barnes.
I would like to say that DMT is the best gymnastic discipline, other than the fact that both of my children are currently over an hour away tumbling.
Well, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
So it's not even the most popular sport in my household.
Okay. Okay, so Peter, my first question is, DMT is mental. Yes. Probably one of the more mental gymnastic disciplines. Why on earth would somebody do it?
So double mini trampoline is like vault for people that don't think it's hard enough or crazy enough to do as many tricks as you'd like. Double mini trampoline, you get to do two moves. It's always two moves. And often there will be doubles, triples, or even recently quadruple somersaults. So it's a sport like vault, long run, 20 meters. To me, a long run, 20 meters to me is a long run, long distance. That's about as far as I want to run in life. 20 meters. Two skills, and then land in the right place. So, Mikey, what makes a good tumbler? What sort of person would be attracted to tumbling? Why have my children chosen tumbling, for example?
Well, I'm not sure if this is genetic, but I would suggest that a nutcase is the best person to try tumbling. You have to have a screw loose somewhere. By that, I mean there's a huge fear element involved because the skills that you're doing are essentially very big and very dangerous, especially as you get towards senior level. Okay, so Pete, what does a gymnast have to do in a DMT pass?
A pass will be around a 20-meter run. They can run slightly longer often, but a 20-meter run, what we call the hurdle, so getting onto the equipment. So a little bit like getting onto the springboard, I suppose. And then almost always they will do a mount skill. So that's the first skill element, which is often a double or triple somersault. Lands in the dismount area, where they then do a dismount skill into the landing area. So that is two skills. And then a bit like vaults, it's then the landing area and tumbling, of course. Sorry, Mikey. You have the landing area where you want to get those good landings as well. What is tumbling exactly?
Well, I mean, at least to me, tumbling is like the purest form of gymnastics. If you think back to how it started, I'm pretty certain that basic floor tumbling skills would have been where it began, and you can kind of do it anywhere. And I just remember doing my first session of tumbling and being like, oh my God, this is me, I've arrived. I never have to touch another ring or pommel handle in my life. This is what I want to do. And it's so cliche, you say it's like the 100 meter sprint of gymnastics, but it is. Like, it is, it's short, it's sharp. It's one big burst. We don't need people to be quiet. We want people to be loud. There's usually me stood around jumping like a fool on the side of the track somewhere.
But yeah, DMT is still better. What makes, to you, Mikey Barnes, what makes the best tumbling passes?
Oof. For me, the way that somebody executes those skills really sets them apart. So we're looking for, it's very similar to trampoline. Everything needs to be a nice, tidy, neat, straight line from fingertips to toe tips. But when a gymnast has that extra, like je ne sais quoi, that little bit of an extra stylistic element to it, that's what really grabs my attention.
I think they're surprisingly similar in terms of strength, weight ratio. The nutcase level has to be high. You'll meet amazing, you know, world-class artistic gymnasts, divers, and some of them will even then will say, oh, I wouldn't do DMT. That looks too dangerous.
Yeah, I absolutely would.
So you've got to have the confidence, and we see that in both the men's and the women's, you've got to have the confidence to trust that the equipment will work and do what it can do if you push it in the right way and you act in it in the right way.
Right, Pete, why is DMT the best gymnastics discipline?
So for someone with a short attention span, it's only two moves, as the name suggests, double mini. There's only two moves, so it's done quick and out. What about tumbling?
Right. For me, tumbling is the best gymnastics discipline because not only is it the best to do, but it's the best to watch. It's the best to get involved with. It has the best people in the community. It is, again, the purest form of gymnastics, strength, power, speed, all of that stuff. Put in one short, sharp burst. It's really difficult to not be entertained by tumbling, especially good tumbling. I just love it.
That is just about all we've got time for. Blythe, how can people get in touch with us?
Message us through the European Gymnastics social media channels.
And on those social media channels, you will find out more about the next episode, which will be coming up next month. We're going to dive into acrobatic gymnastics for the first time. We're going to round up all the competitions that have been going on. And we hope to have your company for another episode of the European Gymnastics Podcast.